Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org and MobiusStripPress.com. And so if you go to both of those pages, you can find all the content you need so that you can understand what Republic Review is and how we take back the Constitution and put the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. With that, if you want to call in, the lines are open, and it is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK, and the lines are open. So I've just literally opened up the lines for you. So anyway, if you do happen to call and you know me, I go by GR, so I ask that you abide by the three C's. First is confidential. Just call me GR, be civil, and be concise. And as well, I need to take a quick second and point out the importance of my Reclaiming the Republic presentation, or the presentation that is on my Take Action page on reclaimingtherepublic.org. And if you go to that, just watch the first 30 minutes of that, and you will understand precisely what the Constitution really is as far as how the framers perceived it and what they told the states it was and how the states bought into it on those premises. Anyway, so go there, have a party, let lots of people watch that. I don't care about the count. I care about the absorption and getting that message out so that people can literally understand how far we have deviated from the Constitution and the limited government that it created and that it still holds to. In other words, everything that's been going on, and you'll read this out of this, everything that has been happening are all usurpations and violations of the Constitution. And so the intent, I guess, is to make you sick about that. But anyway, I do have a standing question. If you want to call in, then you're more than welcome to call in regarding the constitutional protection of religious freedom. Does it really protect what we most people consider religious freedom? And so I just want to stimulate that conversation. I'm not trying to intimidate you. I am not that kind of host. I really try to go down the path of educating. And, you know, a lot of times I may not be right, but I'm pretty well informed. And so I believe I have a good grasp on when I put things out there. And on this type of topic, I've done a lot of research on it. So by all means, give me your perspective. Just go ahead and feel free to call in. I've got a pair of books in the lurch ready to send out to whoever wants to call in, and we'll get that information from you. But anywho, I happened to look out the window. I've looked at the news, and there is still no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its tyrannical powers. So we need to move forward. I am having a hard time, and I'm just going to give you a little rant here. I'm having a hard time understanding why people would prefer to chase a pet peeve, such as abortion, immigration, you name it. There's a lot of them out there. And they've been nagging over these things for decades, or maybe even longer, instead of investing just 30 minutes to go watch that video in chasing a proven solution like Republic Review. And when I say proven, this is what Madison and Jefferson did. It's that simple. I'm really pointing out what those two gentlemen did when they realized the Constitution was being violated by John Adams. So anyway, again, just a little venting. I know there's another walkout in school coming up. I think it's tomorrow. And it's another walkout over the Constitution. They want to shred your liberties and get rid of it, and or at least the Second Amendment. And that's how it begins. And I'm telling you, these kids have been programmed to be militant little communists. And that's what our school system does. put it in perspective. You know, why is it that they're doing this and not a peep out of the masses or out of the kids over the decay of our society for morals? You know, all the broken families and all the kids that have had to grow up without a mom or a dad. Primarily, it's not a dad in the home, that the, you know, the kids are kind of held by the mother, but not the father. And so not having both parents in the house is more of a travesty, because it is affecting, and the morals is the fundamental cause of all of these mass violence shootings and so forth. And so prove me wrong on that. I think if you do the research, you will agree with me that the reason our country has become so debased, and where people have no compunction and no remorse in, you know, actually killing people and going out and doing something like that, is just because they don't have a moral compass, and we have failed to implant or instill those things. I do know that there's a lot of contention over the National Guard, whether California is going to send theirs, and now they're saying, well, the federal government's going to pay for it. Well, I want to point out once more, the Constitution only points to the funding and supporting of the militia and a army, but you got to remember that the framers had a problem with standing armies. They really wanted to back into, or, you know, really focus on these militias, not some standing army or some substitute or bench for the standing army like a National Guard. Show me in the Constitution where there is a authorization for the establishment of a National Guard at each state, and I will tell you that you won't find it. I am sure militias were not supposed to be the bench, as I've said. And so either way, if you want to create a National Guard and get rid of the militia, there is only one way to do it, and that is to follow the Article 5 process. And so at least that's according to Madison and the framers. I'm going to be coming up, not tomorrow, but probably Monday. I'm going to be changing my format, just letting you know, and to make it more suitable for other radios, because I kind of have a problem. I'll get into that on Monday. I don't have a lot of time. But there is an EPA challenge going on in Wyoming I want to get into as well. But I want to also go into, because I'm going to be using the next two segments to air the last two segments of Aline's Lindstrom, as she's the election observer that was on yesterday. And I think you need to understand how this impropriety really does affect the republic, such as the Electoral College. I believe this is contributing to Oregon and Alaska moving blue, or being blue and staying blue. That's basically why I feel it's really important that we start airing these types of things. And I want you to remember, yesterday, Aline spoke of the duplication process and who supports this process. And so maybe it's time for a little citation. And I've got a couple minutes here. Are the words from our founding fathers that I'm reading and the documents I'm citing, are these the words of deceit, or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, progressive colleges, and professors, lawyers, and politicians, and bureaucrats, the words of deceit? And this is really just a short snippet from Madison out of Federalist Paper number 10, where he literally says that no man is allowed to be a judge in his own cause. This is how they were framing the federal government. No man is allowed, or no side is allowed, to be able to be the judge on his own cause, because his interest would certainly bias his judgment. Remember, I've been telling you that. It's very specifically about this election process. And not improbably corrupt his integrity. With equal, nay, with greater reason, a body of men are unfit to be both judges and parties at the same time. And so that's why I'm telling you that it is absolutely wrong and repugnant to think that we have people that are involved in our election process, that they have no biases, that they're just people we're employing. Absolutely not. Everybody has a bias, and that's where I think we have to have that honest, you know, epiphany and say, all right, we need to have equality in representation. So if you're coming in as a Democrat, then we got to hire a Republican, and have to have so many libertarians and so many constitutional party. That way, the parties are represented in the election process. That way, we invoke a greater possibility that there'll be a whistleblower that will be able to maintain a higher integrity and so forth, keeping both sides honest. This is the deep state, and this deep state has ran into every little facet of our government and our processes in the background. Remember what I said yesterday. Stalin said this, not me. It is enough that the people know that there was an election. That's all people need to care about. The people who cast the votes decide nothing. The people who count the votes decide everything. And with that, I believe I'm coming up on a hard break. Yeah, I am. And so with a few words from our sponsors, we're going to be back, and I'll have Aline back in doing the last two segments of that interview, and I know you'll enjoy it. You can call in on the final segment. Please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process. This is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you.
Okay, so I am preempting the rumination, and I just want to cut straight to the chase. Why would that not be a good idea of employing technology for security and so forth, and be able to feed this into the party's central committees so that they will be able to have their own copies? Because I truly believe that if we removed you back to the party so that you're not physically there, but now you actually get to see every place where that ballot goes, because to me it is immoral and unconscionable that they're actually taking ballots out of the observer's way so that it could be something can happen to that ballot.
And it has. If you remember Dina Rossi's election.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. It's impossible to find three boxes of ballots after certification. I'm sorry. It's just impossible. They all those people that found those boxes should be in jail. They were right. So improper. There should have been huge lawsuits. I mean, I can't. It's horrible what that. So, yes, that's stuff that can happen.
So I'll.
Or you could find them or you could lose ballots.
I'll go on a rant here because our elections have been so vulnerable, and I'll call them Democrats, but it is the immoral communist, socialist, or what have
leftists.
You, that by any means necessary, they will do what they have. And if you never understood why President Johnson was called Landslide Lyndon, it was because of one election in one small town. And when they went in to look at how those voters, because it held up the election of Senator Johnson, and they went into this small town and looked that held up this election. And the way the process worked in the town is people would come in, sign the registry, and then cast their vote, sign the registry. So it was not alphabetical. It was in mm-hmm. sequence of the voter. Mm-hmm. However, the registry was alphabetical. So in other words, everybody cooperated, you know, and harmonized so well that they all showed up in alphabetical order to sign the
Amazing.
Registry and vote. And so that's why he was called Landslide Lyndon, because everybody in that town voted for Lyndon B. Johnson.
Yeah.
And and that's what happens. I mean, we have to get to a point where we can't trust anybody.
Well, I think particularly we have so much security breach and personal data for personally,
right.
You know, whatever you're on, government intrusion, and we want to search your car. You're 20 miles north of the border of Mexico, and they want to see papers or something, and we've never ever had to do that before, but some people have
right.
wanted to do that. And yet when it comes to voting, it is so not understood
right.
that people don't give it a think. If I were to ask you, and we have not talked before other than on the phone, I've never
right.
seen you before today, and I said to you, how many times do you think your actual ballot is handled, not just separate process, but average, before it finally gets to the machine and read?
Well, having read what you sent me, oh. I'm going to guess probably 60 times.
Well, people oftentimes will give us 3, 4, maybe 10.
Uh-huh.
It's average of about 10 to 12 times, not counting all the times they have to fold it, getting all the folds out, you know what I mean,
right.
to make them smooth.
Right, right.
General, that's quite a few times when you think about it, and you double that approximately when you duplicate a ballot.
And, well, so I was including in the Washington process, the envelopes. I mean, mm-hmm. the envelopes are even handled several times before you even get to the ballot. And then the signature process,
mm-hmm.
that's done a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was going, it almost may be reasonable to think about 50 or 60.
Well, that's probably a bit much, unless you count each fold that they're trying to undo. But, you know, 10, 12, which is still an awful lot of handling, double,
right.
which we do get to see duplication.
Right.
So if the ballot is already figured that it will be read by the machine without having to reproduce it, remake it on a brand new ballot, then it goes into a envelope, a file ready to be pulled out and read separately from the duplicated ones.
Right, right.
Okay.
What is the process that in auditing an election? How does that get done? Can the people demand an audit?
Okay. Nobody has, I guess.
Right.
Outside of maybe the occasional lawsuit that has come through. There was one case, I think it was the Green Party on the west side of the state. Ruth remembers this better than I do, but they sued because they felt that ballots, they wanted to look at the ones that had already been counted. There's no identifying marks between a ballot in the state and a person who votes that ballot. There is total privacy on your ballot, not on the envelope. Different.
And so why is that? Help me out here.
Why is that?
Yes.
Well, I don't know why it is. I mean, ballots are private. So if you have a name associated with it, somebody who's an election worker could see, they don't see the name on the envelope. They're separated. There's two envelopes.
Right.
You got the outside one that you sign with your name that goes through the machine that's catching it and matching it with your registration.
Right.
Then they have one whole process where they take out the yellow security envelope
right.
from the ballot.
Right.
Okay. If it doesn't have a yellow security, they put it in one so that when it goes to the next stage of the people in a team that – or not a team in that one. Where you take it out of the yellow envelope, which has already been approved that your signature has matched. They're looking at it to see if there's anything that would keep it from being read by the machine in an obvious way. That's why. So if somebody is doing that work – they can say, oh, Aline or GR, oh, they voted for so-and-so. That is a good reason. That is the privacy. That's the beauty of it.
But I don't have a problem with people knowing. I will tell you who I voted for.
But that's okay. That's you. And you don't care. But the state says ballots are private. This is why the state has always said your ballots have always been private.
Well, so
as far as I know.
But my point is that then there's no transparency in real truth. Because
that's why we would want ballots that have already been voted that will never see the light of day except by court order because the state has determined that that is a private ballot. And we're saying, no, it's not. That would give us data. That would give us the ability to have an audit, a true audit.
Yeah, so this is my thinking.
Okay.
Is that when I put forth when I cast my votes, mm-hmm. I'm okay with putting my name to that ballot. Because down the road, when I question the outcome, I want to be able to prove that that's my ballot. Show me the ballot with my name on it, and mm-hmm. then I will verify that, okay, yeah, that's how I voted, mm-hmm. because I know how I vote. And so I'm like everybody else, as far as I'm concerned. I vote the slate.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people don't. I've actually observed it.
Or I know if I have an outlier on a particular issue, mm-hmm. I know that outlier.
Right.
And so everybody should know how they vote. And the problem is when you have an audit to challenge whether the votes counted and the votes cast don't match, then you have a problem.
Absolutely.
And you have what you call election fraud.
I would say so.
Yes.
I would say so.
And not voter fraud.
Correct.
Because what we should be able to do is verify that every single one of our votes counted. And there has to be a really good explanation as to why this one wasn't counted.
We would love the opportunity to be able to compare the ballots that were the original mailed out ballot filled in by the voter
right.
with the duplicated. That would be, there's lots of things we could do, and you don't need a name on it to do that.
In public ballots and for public offices, the votes should be public. I don't care if you need a little privacy, you know, what have you, just while you're doing the process. But this is different than voting in the workplace, whether you want an election for a union or not. And so I honestly believe that those types of things should be private because you don't want harassment in the workplace. But voting for public things, you should be able to say, yes, yeah, I support this, I support that. And if you can't, then maybe you shouldn't be voting. Because if you don't feel strong enough about supporting something, then maybe you shouldn't vote. Anyway, we're at a heartbreak, so I apologize. We will be right back after word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
There are a lot of...
My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
Okay, so we're back and we have Aline still with us. And I appreciate your patience.
Oh, thank you.
And I think where I want to go with this, because This really infuriates me. If you're going to want to participate in a process, then I truly believe that when it comes down to it, you should be willing to go and stand in front of a judge and say, I voted for this, 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 and this. You should be able to demand that, because that's what you're doing, is you're demanding this be the outcome of this coming election. Now, you may not get what you desire because there is called a democratic process, and I'm not necessarily in favor of the 50 plus one in all things. But I do believe that when it comes down to representation, stakeholders, skin in the game of certain issues, then yeah, you have to do that. But I do believe that sometimes we need to have votes that require a higher threshold. But back to this, why is it that we're allowing to hide behind privacy because it opens the door for shenanigans?
It's not just that. It is the whole policy program set however many years ago. Washington State became the second. We only have three. I think a fourth is coming. Right now it was Oregon, Washington, and Colorado. I forget who the fourth one, Alaska maybe, who are voting to have mail-in only ballots. Bad system. The most highly manipulable system out there. Not to say we all heard stories that are true where people have hit the screen for XYZ candidate, but ABC shows up on the screen and they're saying fraud, fraud with a machine.
Right.
That is election fraud. The voter's not starting that fraud. That's the machine. So that would be in the election system,
right,
or pre-programmed machines.
Right.
I guess we all need to be vigilant, but in a mail-in only, I have so many problems with it. Not that we should all go back to what they did. They sold to the Washington State people that it was going to be cheaper and faster, neither which are true at all, any way, shape, or form. We are now sending out ballots on every individual election where something can be voted for to every voter in that, whether it's a fire district or a school board or whatever it is, versus statewide versus congressional, doesn't matter. Everybody's going to get a ballot who's registered that has no intention of voting because we have no accountability to say to the election office, yeah, I want to vote. And if you don't want to vote, we used to have mail absentee voting. Why can't we still have that where we're not printing up all these ballots that cost us many thousands of dollars for a statewide election?
Right.
With all these multiple pieces going in together,
right,
in one envelope, and people toss them away in a garbage can out of their post office box, for example.
Right.
Can those be stolen out of the garbage can? It's been observed that's happened. We don't have the security out there just in general because there's so many ballots out there. And anybody can call in and say, well, I didn't get my ballot. Send me a ballot. They can do that. Now, it might be only counted once, but there's no ID. We don't ask ID. Hey, it's,
and we should.
Well, ID would be a wonderful thing according to state law and federal.
According to the Constitution.
Hello. Yes, of course it would be. But we don't want that because that's, you know, it's considered keeping people down.
Intimidating.
I guess, but you know, you're asked for ID and you're personally groped at the airline.
There's nothing.
When you're flying.
But when it comes to our, how we're governed.
Exactly.
When it comes to probably, you know, if your money is important and having access to your money is mm-hmm. so important that you need to have a safeguard where it requires ID,
exactly,
then your government is even more important because the government takes your money. And so I would think that we would have to have even a higher safeguard.
We hope
of
so.
Ensuring your citizenship, residency, and those things per the Constitution.
But the people that are in charge that help influence and or create election law, auditors in different areas, powerful people, agenda-driven people, don't want that.
That's because they're corrupt and they're feeding corruption.
And the legislature will pass.
She's not saying that. I am. I want to be
I'm
clear
I'm not
here.
Saying it. No, I'm not. But because I very much appreciate the people that work in the office that do what they do, most of them are very good people.
Yeah.
I think so. I do.
But the people that are driving this, they have machinations,
yes,
and
they
designs.
Do. Some do. Yes, and absolutely.
Yeah.
And so when you see all that, and then we go back to this system of the mail-in ballot, and we reject state law, reject constitutional law of residency and age and living in an area, all of those things that we reject, uh-huh, okay, as not important, but it's in state and federal law, We're letting illegals voting. Is that not foreign interference in election?
To me, if the election process is allowing that, that's election fraud.
I would think so too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so
because
people,
the system is allowing it.
That's right. So yeah. And those people that are within the system that are allowing it. In other words, whether it be judges or a bureaucrat hoodwinking, they should be put into hand bracelets and they should be doing the perp walk.
But you know how that happens. Maybe you're not. Let me just say how this happens. All of our social services register people sometimes automatically in this little box. Do you want to be registered to vote without even asking them? Other people will ask, but they're not looking for any verification, for example.
They create a mechanism that allows individuals, whether it be the person at the counter or the individual themselves, to game the system. Those people who have created such soft barriers mm-hmm. for our governance and our management of governance of elections, to me, that's corruption, and the design is to get a very specific outcome.
You're absolutely right. In this last legislature, because the Republicans were short one vote, so the Democrats had that extra vote to get what they wanted done, they passed it's incredulous to me, because even the auditors don't want the extra work of this particular thing, registering 16 and 17-year-olds. Really, how's that going to work? They did a test one, and it was a failure.
Right.
But the Democrats don't look at any consequences, downline, anything.
Well, no, because the Democrats – so I write about this. The Democrats absolutely understand why they want the younger voter.
Yeah.
Because the younger voter has been already programmed as communist. If you haven't seen these marches where these kids coming out of school mm-hmm. are willing to throw away their individual immunities and privileges guaranteed by the Constitution to say, we no longer need liberties. We need government to control us. We want government to be our master, and we fully trust government. Well, of course, those who are on that side of government want those kids to be able to vote to swing the election. I've been fighting constitutionalists in Idaho, and I've been fighting constitutionalists here in Washington to say, you've got to start stepping up and centering on the Constitution, because if you don't, it's only a matter of years, because I keep telling people, we don't have much time. If you look at what's coming out of the school system, mm-hmm. they've got it baked. We've got maybe 3 to 5 years until there is a majority, because guess what? The real staunch conservatives are dying off. Go to a conservative convention. Go to the GOP Central Committee, and the one thing that you'll find is either no hair, gray hair, you know, and or what have you. They're just a bunch of old people. Because we do not have the monopoly on the education system. They seized that over a century ago.
And the other false information is we're doing this to increase voter turnout, which is bullpucky.
Right.
Okay, because it doesn't. Anything new and different, it increased voter registration with a novelty.
But I can prove that it does, because when they have an issue, because the homosexual marriage issue here in Washington was literally pushed over the edge because Soros had brought in hundreds of workers from other states, got them to register, put them in little places, and they were making money off of you and me, because they were all gaming the system for unemployment and for the welfare, food stamps, and so forth. But they put these people around college campuses, and they put them around high schools to make sure that if you're 18, you got to make sure the people who love each other can get married.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was the youth vote that made that change. And that was one of the biggest outcome votes or biggest voter turnouts in a long time.
Hot button issues can do that.
Absolutely.
But in general, when you're mailed a ballot, you know what a lot of people do when they look at the turnout rates, which are probably lower than what we had lately, even though it sounds like a little higher, they stick it with their bills or they toss it.
Right.
And they forget.
Right.
And there's no accountability, because you don't go in to see the person at a poll site that knows you by sight, and you show them your driver's license. There's none of that.
No.
So
that's
a big part of it.
Okay. Well, so I know that we're coming up on a hard break, and what I'd like to do is have you back.
Thank you.
But what I want you to do is I'm going to make sure I sent you my bullets for Republic Review, because I truly believe we can take this back. But I just it's a lost cause here in Washington. And there are places that we can, and I'm calling for. And so when we come back, we'll get into all of that, because I'm expecting, you know, my favorite song to be coming up right there. There it is. Anyway, so we will have Aline back hopefully in the next week or so, to do some more of these recordings. And I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much, folks.
This is GR Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Well, I hope you found that very, very informative and interesting, because these mail-in ballot concepts are starting to spread. And just like bad ideas that kind of come to fruition in California and other progressive states, where progressives kind of have a stronghold, guess what? They kind of creep around, and next thing you know,
They're being implemented in a state near you. And as that happens, it has a likelihood of affecting you. It's like a deadly flu. It just keeps spreading. Anyway, a couple of go backs or some insights that I have based on the interview that I had, at least the parts that we listened to today. I am an advocate, by the way, and I want to put this out front. I am an advocate for everyone that is going to register to vote in the registration process, that person must take the oath of citizenship as a part of the process of registering to vote. And that way, I believe it will reinforce the concept, because I've got another promo that talks about, even though we don't have to take the oath, that oath is implied. And so it is far too often that I find myself talking to somebody who has no clue what responsibilities a citizen has in protecting and defending the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. That's a part of the oath. So I believe it is very important to help ingrain that responsibility into these people that are going into the voting process, that they understand that they have that responsibility and not undermining it. That way, I think we're going to get our way to a point as we go through this massive purging that's coming up. I think we'll have to reach a point, just like the Tory Act, where people who are loyalist to subversive politics and ideologies will no longer be allowed or given that right of citizenship. It's not like they're going to lose their citizenship per se. They just won't be able to vote. Because bottom line, they're trying to vote for things that are unconstitutional or trying to undermine it. So that's at least my two cents on that. Another thing I wanted to bring into this is the interesting concept that Aline brought up regarding foreign influence of an election. I think that there needs to be some exploration on this. I think Trump should maybe go after Mexico and all other nations who have had citizens here illegally that have voted, and that and these nations like Mexico, if they don't have controls or enforcement against illegal migration, then they should be held responsible, because, in other words, they're leaving an open door to undermine us, which means that they are trying to influence an election. I think that's an interesting approach. And so I like learning things, and I like looking at things from a new angle, because, you know, reasonable people equally informed seldom disagree. Remember that premise? Obviously, I'm not equally informed as Aline or other people in some of these processes. And so when I get that information and when I see their perspective, it kind of helps me kind of go, oh, okay, well, that's a problem, and here's a solution for it. Anyway, as I was talking the other day, with what little time I have left, I wanted to go into reaching out and using some marketing in helping people realize, you know, how they've been adversely affected by government overreach. And we talked about the different industries and our markets and our institutions and so forth. And so if you remember, I kind of talked about states and their government overreach. And of course, they're affected in so many different ways through bureaucratic harassment by the EPA, bureaucratic harassment by the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Interior, and so forth and so on. There's just so many departments that have some form of enforcement. And it's not like this enforcement is, a little paper book. Somebody's coming along and, writing you up or telling you, well, you can't do that. These guys have guns. People get killed. We just passed up the Waco anniversary, and I believe we're coming up on the Oklahoma bombing incident. We already know what happened to Lavoie Finicum. So that's too many tragedies are occurring from bureaucracies with guns. That shouldn't be happening. The government should not be killing people. It's people shouldn't be killing people. But again, as I talked about that, that is a result of the decay of our society. I also talked about religious institutions. And as a matter of fact, I pointed out the circle of protection, but I didn't get a chance to go deeper into religious institutions. And I've said this before. Have you ever compared the religions of secularism and its doctrine to Christianity and its doctrine? And I will tell you where I'm going with this, but where do you learn this doctrine of secularism, you know, godlessness? Where do you study this in a university that teaches the theology or theological courses and studies and offers degrees or certifications of this doctrine? Where do you go? It's called the public school system. That's where you learn this. And that's why I've said before that if you lined up on a sheet of paper the individual types of doctrines that, you know, is taught by Christianity or Judeo-Christian principles, thou shalt not steal, adultery is wrong, and all those types of things, fornication is wrong, blah, 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 blah. You list that all out. Creation. You will find that there is an opposing doctrine within secularism of every Christian doctrine there is. And that is what's being taught to our children. And then again, I go back to what I've been saying about the moral decay. The children are being taught that it's okay because that's not immoral. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you feeling perverse or you're feeling the way you do. We want to champion and embellish your immature thoughts and decisions, and we want to make you a victim of our secularism. And so that's kind of what's been going on. And there's no doubt in my mind, religious institutions have been adversely affected. But I believe, as I led into this, religious institutions have been culpable in surrendering or abdicating their responsibilities to their parishioners, their flock, whatever you want to call the followers in each congregation. And they have been throwing them to the state. There's way too many churches out there that basically tell people, go, if you need help, go to the state, go to the federal government and get your welfare check on. And then when you get that, make sure you give us a little stipend for that because you got to pay tithing and or whatever you want to call it, tithes, fast, offerings, however they want to refer to it. I would also say that the next industry that I think needs to be going into, now some are either willing, participants or colluding with government for advantages in some of these industries. But let's just talk about the education industry. There is no doubt in my mind, there's lots of money being funneled into private colleges that aren't so private, and there are strings attached with that. They're even trying to put their fingers and money into some of these private schools, not charter schools, but other private types of schools where they're saying, you know, if you it always starts with, well, we want to give you some money to feed the kids. You know, it's about the kids. And then after they start giving you this money, they go, you know, you become dependent on it after a few years. And they say, you know, we're going to have to cut this out unless you do these things. And so that's how government starts using lucre to start controlling their subjects. The automobile industry is another industry, and I think that this needs to be dwelt upon because it's not only the manufacturing end that has been adversely affected. If you remember in 2008, 2009, and I think even 2010, the Obama administration was randomly choosing, and as a matter of fact, it really wasn't random. They were shutting down dealerships when there were a few different dealerships in an area, and they were picking who could stay open and who couldn't. And you'd be surprised that if it was a good populated area where there were conservative dealership and liberal dealerships where they threw their money, guess who got to stay open? And so they do everything they can to further their cause and to hurt and bring down their opposing views, or those who have opposing views and ideologies. They are a weapon. They are at war. And the problem is most conservatives don't realize that. And I'm here to tell you it's time to wake up. It's time to reclaim the Republic. I am GR. I'll be back tomorrow in Reclaiming the Republic. Thank you so much.